Now, what is the relationship between Sat and Chit? Now, you might say that basically Chit and Ananda are the means to approach the Sat. Why? Because Sat is in the hierarchy on the top, because without which nothing else can happen. Even Chit and Ananda, they are as it were one with the Sat and they depend upon the Sat. Such is the relationship. They are one with the Sat and yet they depend upon the Sat. Sat can remain without Chit and Ananda, but Chit and Ananda cannot remain without Sat. There is a status, there is a state in which Sat alone can exist, where even Chit and Ananda are rolled up, as it were, where they don't remain Chit and Ananda. It is just as you heat anything, ultimately it becomes vapor, and it is reduced to Akasha. But Akasha cannot be described as Prithvi. It is Prithvi which ultimately became vapor and ultimately enters into Akasha. But you can't say Akasha is Prithvi. And yet Prithvi is that. It is that in which it is reduced. And yet Akasha is still much more than Prithvi or Jala or Vayu, whatever. Similarly, Chit and Ananda, when they are rolled up completely into Sat, then Sat still remains Sat. Chit and Ananda, although they are in it, but they are no more recognizable as Chit and Ananda. Such is the miraculous relationship that exists between Sat, Chit and Ananda. Now, Chit itself is twofold. Just as reality is threefold, Sat, Chit and Ananda, Chit itself is twofold. Chit, which is immobile, and Chit which is mobile. Therefore, immobile, mobile is a twofold character of Chit. The immobile Chit is really called Chit normally. It is called the consciousness. The mobile Chit is called Shakti, is the power, is called action. That is why Chit is called consciousness action, consciousness force, or conscious force. Now, in consciousness force, there is an interrelationship. The mobility always depends upon immobility. But immobility does not depend upon mobility. Mobility, when folded up, becomes completely immobile, in which mobility, as we understand it, may not even be recognized. So between the consciousness and force, between consciousness and action, we may say they are one, and yet there is a hierarchy. Chit is superior to Shakti. Consciousness is superior to action. Now, it is the union of Sat and Chit. This union is that which gives ananda. Although sat is chit and chit is ananda and they are all one, but if you enter into the heart of these complex threads of Satchidananda, you find that the position of ananda is a tertiary position. The primary position is of sat. Secondary position is of chit. Between chit and shakti, the primary position is of chit and secondary position is of shakti. And tertiary position, the third position, is of ananda. In other words, without sat and chit being united, there is no ananda. Ananda is dependent. Mere chit is not ananda, mere sat is not ananda. It is sat and chit when combined together gives you ananda. Now such is the interrelationship between the three. Now if you now compare the path of knowledge to the path of chit, compare the path of action with the path of shakti, and compare the path of bhakti to the path of ananda, you get three paths. And between the three paths, you find the same kind of relationship as you find between chit, shakti and ananda.
Then knowledge is chit, immobile.
Chit is immobile, but chit also is mobile.
Yes, but knowledge is equated to the immobile chit.
Chit, that's right. You might say again, fundamentally. These distinctions have to be remembered in a subtle manner in our own consciousness. The distinctions do not divide, that is the important point. When we say chit is immobile, it does not divide itself from mobility. There is a state in which, you might say, in which the mobility can be folded up and becomes immobile to such an extent that mobility cannot be recognized. But it doesn't mean there is no mobility at all in it.